Sup, y'all? How you doing? My name is Gianni Paolo, and you are now watching Growing Up Italian. I feel like I should have went Gianni Paolo.
Growing Up Italian.
Growing Up Italian.
Growing Up Italian podcast.
Growing Up Italian.
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 Growing Up Italian podcast.
Growing Up Italian.
Growing Up Italian.
Growing Up Italian podcast.
Growing Up Italian. Woo!
Fast life. My guy made it just in time to take his fight. I appreciate you coming. It's been a long time coming. So what's going on, man? How's your time in New York this trip?
I'm not gonna lie, it's been a little crazy. It's been a little crazy. Thank you for having me. I know we've been trying to do this for a minute.
I know.
But it's so funny because, like, when I'm in New York, I'm working. Mm-hmm. We're always, like, filming. And this was one of the few times that I've came and I had to, like, get work done, obviously. Uh-huh. But even, like, my homie Garrett was saying, he's like, every time I come to New York, like, shit just pops off.
Yeah.
He's, shaking his head over there.
I heard you were hosting a party.
Like, yeah. So Thursday, I don't even know.
Give us your schedule. Give us your weekend in New York.
I don't even know when I flew in. I think it was Thursday. Thursday night, courtside Knicks game, me and Mike.
Sure. No big deal.
Friday, we walked out Lil Durk at the last night of the Drake concert.
Yeah.
Sure. Saturday, hosted at Hidden Tiger. Sunday, Rangers game. Monday, growing up Italian pod. Yes. And
that's solid.
That's a nice lineup. Yeah. That's a nice lineup. I'll take it.
Yeah.
People work to, like, people aspire to have, like, weekends like that.
Yeah. I have to actually do a better job, which I am, because I'm shooting this movie in Mexico City right now, and I'm doing a better job of, like, appreciating it in the moment, because sometimes, like, when I'm shooting Ghost, sometimes I'm 3, 4, 5 months go by, and I'm just, like, going to work, like, it's a 9 to 5, and I'm like, no, bro, like, you're on a show that resonates with so many people. So I'm trying to do as good of a job as I can. Like, even when I was walking Dirk out, I'm like, take it in for a second and then go back, you know?
No, it's crazy because we were kind of talking about it before, but I think the show you're on is, like, so influential in the major cities.
Yeah.
Like, it's the current Soprano and
right.
Like, it's that current show, like, that injects into the culture. Like, yeah. Whatever happens on the show is, like, what people talk about in the barbershops. Like, wherever there's discussions, like, people talk about the show. But what's the biggest difference between, like, being on a show like that and then, like, in a movie?
I would say it really depends. Like, everything's different because of how it pops or how it resonates with people. Like, I did a movie, you know, in 2019 it came out, and they were saying this was going to be the biggest movie in the world. It did really well. Mm-hmm. But, like, nobody recognizes me from that movie. A lot of people have seen it. It's called Ma.
Oh, that's the horror.
Yeah.
And
it was just on Netflix for Halloween, like, all this stuff. But, like, no one, like, recognizes me from that. Everywhere I go, I'm Braden.
Yeah,
so it really just, whatever resonates with people or pops or this and that. Like, there are some people, some guys that I know who have been on television for legitimately 30 years and have done, like, 7 episodes on that or 15 episodes on that. And they, like, will go months without anyone even recognizing them or anything. Like me, like, if I'm in a big city and I'm going anywhere, like, it's craziness.
I think a big reason, too, is because there's, like, so many memes about the show also.
For
sure. So, like, resonates with, like,
people
on social media. So not only are you, like, on TV or TV star, but also social media because so many people, like, see the memes and stuff.
Yeah, and I definitely, use it to my advantage, the social media stuff, because we get such big followings, like, it's just, why not, you know? Like, why not use it to your advantage? And I have fun with it. There are some actors that I know who, like, fold under the social media. Like, I can't take scrutiny. Like, nah, I like, go towards it because it's fun, too.
Yeah.
It's like a fun thing to just play around with, you know?
You have that personality for it. I will say, you have the most Italian name in history.
Yeah.
Gianni Paolo.
Gianni Vincent Paolo.
That's very, very
Could have been a Pope, bro.
You what?
You could have been a Pope.
That would be
Gianni Vincent Paolo III.
That would be sick. I don't think I could host at Hidden Tiger or walk out Dirk, but if I was the Pope, imagine me with my fucking robe on just walking Dirk out.
Yeah. You could host like masses, though.
That's actually true. People will hang on to everything I say.
It's still a party, but.
Yeah.
But you grew up in Rhode Island, right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, like, your Italian background in Rhode Island.
You guys have obviously been to Rhode Island, right?
Yeah.
We interviewed Judge Caprio.
Frank Caprio, dude, yeah. He's dope. Yeah. So I went to, I mean, everyone knows everyone in Rhode Island. Like, there's like eight. I used to live across the street from his, like, nephew. Or, like, yeah, you know how it is. But, yeah, like, it just was, it's a pretty Italian place where, you know, where you come from. If, like, Cranston's super Italian.
Yeah.
They even, on the roads, the, you know, the yellow lines, it's an Italian flag. Like,
yeah. I didn't see that.
I see that. Yeah. Even on Federal Hill in Providence. So I grew up pretty Italian, you know, traditional, the meals, all of it. But I also played hockey.
Yeah.
So, like, I traveled a lot too. So
you were drafted by the Canadian League, I saw. Right?
Yeah. And the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League.
So, how did that happen exactly? Did you play in the league or?
I didn't play in that league because I wanted to play college hockey. The whole goal was to like play college hockey. And then I wanted to, you know, major in theater and be able to do that at like a great school. Like I was looking at Ivy League schools, but I just made the decision just like, I don't want to be 24 moving to LA. Like I was already on power at that point.
Wow.
I'm like, I made the right choice of going out. I turned 19 and I dipped. I stopped playing hockey, and I was like, I don't want to play hockey for a job. I want to do this, so
and
it worked out.
It worked out. Yeah. How did the opportunity like come to your
hockey wise or acting wise?
No, acting wise.
I legitimately.
You were about to go to like a major school for hockey, right?
Yeah, I mean, I still had 2 years left to play junior hockey, and you know, I had like offers from schools, and I knew what the end goal was. But I had no opportunity. I legitimately, no agent, no, I didn't, I know one person, which is my uncle, and he's a writer, and he was, like, still trying to, I remember being like, can you get me anything? He's like, can you get me anything? And it's like, so I moved out there on my 19th birthday. I packed my car with my older brother. We drove cross country, and I had, like, $1,500 in my pocket, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking do this.
Yeah, that's
crazy. And I never looked back. Yeah.
That's sick. I respect that so much.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
And you just got, like, into the right producer, or right, like, casting agent?
I got an agent with it, like, actually pretty early on getting there. I went on this website called LA Casting, just made a profile. Agent reached out to me. And then I'm just like, I was able to figure out the business aspect of the industry so easily. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, and then I can get a manager, and then I'm going to leverage this manager because he's a good manager to get this voiceover agent. And I had like 15 people on my team, and I'd never booked anything. I remember I went and sit down with this casting director of Warner Brothers, and he it was funny because it hit me. He like looked at my resume and he saw like I had 15 contacts, like three voiceover agents, a modeling agent, this and that. He goes, you have a giant team. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, and you've not done anything yet? And I was like, nah, I just kind of got here. Like, I was there for probably a couple of years working at a restaurant. But he was like, yeah, it's, like, impressive. So I just was able to figure out the business aspect of it. And then I was like, now I have to get really fucking good because the opportunities are going to start coming my way. And if I don't deliver, I'm going to be done. So 5 acting classes a week, 4 hours a night, improv. Performing improv on the weekends, sketch classes, voiceover classes, writing classes, everything. Mm-hmm. Every hour of the day I was doing something. I was up at the gym at 6 a.m., then I would open the restaurant. Then at night I would have to do self-tapes or auditions or then get ready for an audition the next day. Like, I was like, I got to be so prepared that when this opportunity comes, and then, you know, I booked, you know, a couple things on different TV shows, but then the opportunity, which I didn't know at the time was the opportunity, was Power. Yeah. It was season 5. I was supposed to do one episode. That's all. It was a co-star. It was like legitimately 2 scenes, and then it turned into
your character.
Yeah, literally the lead of a spinoff with Michael. So, but because I got so good and I was like, I need to grind and get it, like I was ready for that opportunity. So then when the director was like, okay, improv, have fun, the next couple takes are yours. I've been doing stage improv for 3-4 years at the time, advanced study at UCB and Groundlings. So then I was like locked in, and then, you know, make them laugh, and then the rest is history.
It's impressive to me, like, when someone's that talented at 2 things.
Yeah
Like, I'm not talented at 1 thing like that, but you're out here like major actor.
Yeah,
you could have went pro. And like, even the other stuff you do, like, I've seen your podcast before, and you, like, hold the conversation really well. So to me, it's, like, impressive that you're literally could be a professional athlete, you're a professional actor. Like, it always amazes me when someone's, like, that good at, like, that many things.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. I just think it's, like, I really just think it's work ethic and, like, just having, if you just know you can do something, you're gonna do it. Like, it, seriously, if you actually in your mind, I'm like big on like manifesting and like, I know it's so fucking LA in me, but just like truly believing it will happen. No matter what.
That's the most LA talk I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That's like LA manifest for sure. Is the LA word.
It really is. But like if you do the research and like, and watch the interviews and actually see like manifesting such like a white girl, like I'm a fucking manifest. Like it
yes,
is
queen. Right. Manifest.
But
this.
I guess a better way of saying it is like just believing it's going to happen with every part of you. And it will, like, there's no way it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask you, how did you turn two scenes into a lead role? Like, how did you know those two scenes?
The character.
Did your mindset was like, "Yo, these two scenes, I'm just gonna fucking kill it."
No, so like, when you do one episode of a show, like you're going into someone's home, their mm-hmm. family. Like Michael has been on the show since mm-hmm. the first episode,
since he was a kid,
right? So there are a lot of actors who have no fucking personal awareness, no. Nothing. They don't like, they just show up place. They think that I'm like, when I get there, I'm like, this is his show. I know what my character's here for, to serve the scene, to move his storyline further.
Yes.
So in no way in my mind was I like, I'm going to take the spotlight from him. There are some actors like you'll do scenes with when it's your coverage, they'll like lean in and get in the camera. So it's like a trick that actors, so they have to use the other person's face longer because their elbow is in the way. Actors do shit like that. And I don't I don't operate like that. Yeah, so I'm corny. Like, I know what I need to do. I'm here to serve the scene for Michael.
You're a team player.
Exactly. So I get to set. Me and Mike didn't even talk one time. Like, we said, what up? And then we, you know, read the lines of the scene, and then you block it out. So the director will go, okay, how do you feel if on this line you go there? Does that work for you? And then I'll go, yeah or no, I would rather sit in the bed, and then that's it. So we did that, and then we start shooting the scene. And my character was more like Trace, my brother. Mm-hmm. Like he was like a lacrosse, uppity douchebag.
Like a Long Island kid.
Right. And yeah, exactly.
Douchebag.
Little Manhasset. Little Manhasset kid.
I love that one.
So I knew what I was there for. So then when it came time to like shoot the scene, we did a couple takes. And then the director, who thank God she did this, was like, okay, the next couple takes are yours. It was like December 22nd. It was a skeleton crew. A lot of people had broken for Christmas already.
Yeah.
And it was only me and Michael all day. So they were just like, it was a loose day.
Yeah.
So she was like, okay, the next couple takes are yours. And that's like, as an actor, like I can do whatever. Mm-hmm. So I came in the room. I was like, yeah, my lacrosse coach was a dick. If you see that first episode, I like threw the bag on the thing and I was like messing around. And then I saw the pills and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So I just added like, cause I didn't want to take away from the story for this one character to come in and do that. But she gave me permission. So then I did it. And then that was it. Shot the scene, went and did that movie Ma. And then I remember when the show came out, all of the improv made it, and then all the written stuff was gone. So I was like, oh fuck, they like really liked what I did.
So you really made your own character.
Right. Well, and then that's why like when I saw it all, they called me, they're like, yeah, we wrote your storyline for season 6. I was like, oh no way. So yeah, they definitely, and I remember it was so crazy. I showed up to, I went to breakfast. It was like an early 5 a.m. breakfast, and 50 walks in. And he's like, man, you fucking funny. Like, and I was like, how does he even like know what I did? Like I was one scene, two scenes. And then I went to wardrobe, and the wardrobe, his name is Frank. He's the fucking best. All the drip you see from Frank. And
he's a stylist. Like,
yeah, he's stylist. Yeah. The whole show does all the designing. And he said to me, he said we didn't all think you were going to be good, but he's like catty. Yeah. Like he's like, we didn't think you were going to be good, but you were good. And for Frank to say that, like that's a compliment because like he's not, he doesn't really do that. And then finally went to the table read. And then Courtney, who, you know, created the show, she's, you know, the boss. She came up to me and she was like, I'm so excited to meet you. Cause I didn't meet her earlier. And she's like, you did such a good job that we legitimately wanted to bring you back. Like we made it a thing. And this was just for season 6, never mind the spinoff. Yeah. So
that's great, bro.
Yeah.
How does it feel to have a guy like 50 Cent in your corner?
I mean, dude, it's like,
he scares me, by the way. Like I met 50, like 4 or 5. He's a He's a house. Yeah, he's like a 6'3" yeah. monster.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, like, we had him at the liquor store because I owned the liquor store next door.
Nah,
yeah. This is when he did like the FN vodka thing. So we did like an in store. I'll never forget, like, you know, we sold like 100 cases of his vodka, but like, he's intimidating. Like, he's yeah. scary.
Yeah. It's funny because now I've been with him so much and like, I've gone on tour with him. I've been overseas with him. And
I saw that too. Like, he brought you out on stage a couple yeah. times.
He, bro, he does it. If I pull up to any show he's at, sometimes I surprise him. But if I pull up to a show, he's like, I got to bring you out. And I'm like, yeah. all right, fine. Fuck yeah, it. Like, fire, yeah. It's dope. Like, could you imagine? It's so funny because I have a lot of friends, you know, who are in LA or back home or whatever. And they're like, bro, you don't realize like you're living.
That's goals.
Yeah, bro.
Every
that's a dream.
Kid's dream that grew up listening to Eminem and 50 and like yeah. he's bringing you on stage like
yeah.
even the biggest actors in the world don't even get
even
to do
besides that.
That
just being friends with him alone
right.
is like
right
but like bring you on stage it's, and like you know we were talking before a little bit about Italian rap and you're super in tune with like everything that's going on you're yep. talking about Baby Gang Sfera. Anybody you ask they'll say 50 Cent inspired them the most
for sure
like he inspired rap in Italy the most.
Yeah, 50 says it best, like...
international rapper.
Right, like Eminem bridged the gap from like, from just rap in the US. He's like, Eminem made it possible yeah. for it to go international. And that, obviously, like, then he that bridge there, so then all the rappers go, you know, overseas now, and now you see, like, the Noisy, they do all the rap around the world in the yeah, different yeah. countries. And, you know, Baby Gang did one, Rounder
or so. They do the content you're talking about. Like
yeah, it's blocks. Crazy. And you see how, like, all those rappers are like, yeah, 50,
cent.
Yeah.
They all say 50 cent.
It's so crazy to see, like, dude, there's rap in Poland and Denmark, and yeah. they all have their own superstars there. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, 50 sells out wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Like, his world tours are crazy. So to have a guy like that in your corner is impressive. What how did the show with you and Michael happen? Like, because you guys had a podcast together.
So season six, we started actually hanging out. Like season six, episode one, we like saw each other. We were sitting on set, and you know, this is our second day together, so we're getting a little more comfortable. And I know I'm gonna be there for a little bit more, more time, more episodes. Mm-hmm. So I forgot what he had said something about a car, and I'm a car guy. I was like, oh. And then I said something, yeah, I was chilling with this girl the other night, and he likes girls. He's like, what's up?
Wait, you so, like girls and
yeah.
cars?
But he, yeah, it, yeah.
Can we just become best friends?
It's, yeah, it's so funny. It's like such like a fucking like, wait, dude, you like pussy and engines? Like, but he, I don't know. We just like, I forgot what it was, but we just started talking. Bro, he picked me up that night in his car. We went out, and I was like, this is my
fire,
bro. Because yeah. actors, because
I always see you guys at like games together.
Yeah, I mean, we kick it like 24/7. Like, if I'm in New York, I'm with him, you know, yeah. every night. If he's in LA, I mean, we had a house in LA together for 4 months, you know, last hiatus. But if I'm in New York, like we're kicking it. But actors are, they're weird people, man. They're front
they're
runners.
Artsy. They're artsy people, too.
They're artsy. It's a lot of, like, and look, I get it, like, promote yourself, but, like, there's a lot of people who, like, clout, who will only want to be around people. Bro, a lot of these, like, child actors or people, like, Disney kids or people in L.A., bro, you hang out with them, and I'm like, get me out of here. But with yeah. And you have to, like, put on a front of who you are. Mm-hmm. You can't say this. They're sensitive about this. Like, whatever. And I just, like, that's not the way I operate. Yeah. So when me and Mike kicked it, I was like, oh, my God, I could fucking be myself. But the reason why he is like that is because he grew up in New York as an actor. And I feel yeah. like that's so different as growing up in L.A. as an actor. He grew up in Staten Island at his crib that he grew up in, being on Power, and yeah. just so happened to have to go to work on Power, but grew up with all his friends.
I think that's all he knows, too, because he was, like, so young
right.
with the show started. I forgot how old he was, but right. he's a kid.
Yeah, he was, like, 12 or 13.
Yeah, like, so,
yeah.
you know, like, from a young age, he's, like, been in that role and under the microscope for every day.
Right. But, yeah, actors, man. I mean, I found a lot that I've, you know, gotten close to yeah. that, but a lot of them are just, if you can't help me.
Yeah, I actually saw a funny video about you. A funny video of you, I should say, where
I was like, about me, I was like, motherfucker, like, what
like
now?
Frank, the food boss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Their neighbors were Scarlato.
Oh, I like him.
But I think there was like a video of you, and like he was cooking for you, maybe, and you're like it was a like one of those, you know, pronunciation videos.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
and you were flipping out, like, you don't got to say it like that. Like,
yeah, yeah, like, yeah, you say yeah. it the right way,
bro. Yeah. He was like, It was something like that. You're a shoelace or something. I was like, all right, come on, Frank. Fucking pipe down a little bit here. I know you're doing it for the cameras, but nah. He's a good guy. Yeah. He cooked for us. It was so good.
But like growing up in Rhode Island, like was, do you think from seeing like Italian New Yorkers and Rhode Island New Yorkers, do you think we like overemphasize it too much?
No, I think it's very similar. Like it's a similar thing. I don't think it's an over, I love it. Because I feel like I'm home. Like, I don't get that in L.A. at all.
Not at all.
There's one, there's a Italian deli that's right down the street from me. It's called Monte Carlo Deli, and then it's split with a restaurant. It's called Pinocchio's, and it's the best you're going to get for, like, any Italian shopping or anything. But, like, even when I'm in there sometimes, I'm like, okay, like, I feel a little bit at home right now. Yeah. But you don't get that in L.A. Like, the culture is not, there's no, like, Brooklyn, New York. Yeah. There's no Providence.
Everybody just, says that. Yeah.
Do you remember when we were in Providence, like, their little
it's a community,
lit.
Nice community. Yeah.
I liked it. Like,
it's a good Italian community. Have you been to like the festivals and stuff? Like
never a festival, but I've been to Rhode Island twice. But that one time with the judge, it was like walking around with like Padre Pio, like walking, yeah. like walking with the Pope. Like yeah. we're talking about the Pope. Like,
everybody knows
him. Everybody was stopping him, and he's just like the Italian guy there.
Yeah, like, it's so crazy. He's a judge, and like that's how. Yeah, it's like nuts.
The celebrity.
Where'd you guys eat there?
Where do we eat that?
Well, it was his spot.
It was like a club that you have. It's like Soho House of Rhode Island.
Really?
You know what I'm talking about? But it was like for
Soho House for politicians.
Took us to back alleys.
Like, it was like a place that you have to pay a membership, but then you got to pay for the food too. Literally like Soho House, like, because it was just empty and it was like a little house that looked like it was 400 years old.
Are you sure you don't go to like Legs and Eggs Night at what's it called again? What's that strip club in Rhode Island? Foxy Lady.
The other time
he's we paid an entry fee and then some girl was naked and then
No, but Rhode Island's dope. I think it doesn't get enough credit for like the community though. Like,
yeah, it's a good Rhode Island. It's a good Italian community there for
you
sure.
You got any like funny stories growing up about like just being an Italian in Rhode Island?
It's so crazy because it's hard to think about like those times now because it's so long ago when I've done like so much in the past like 9 years.
Yeah.
I lived in LA for almost nine years now. Yeah. Yeah. So
were your parents happy when you told them you were going to move to LA?
My dad was pissed. My mom was like, go, you know, chase your dream.
Go for it.
My dad was like, because he still wanted me to play hockey.
Yeah. I was going
to
say.
Yeah. And then, you know,
he's like, you're going to become an actor. You're about to become pro, right? Like that.
Then once he sees me on stage with 50 Cent, he's like, all right, fine.
That's when you got his approval?
Yeah. I was like, oh, it wasn't the movie I did that was in theaters a year ago. He's like, no, the 50 Cent stuff, that's cool. I was like, all right, bet. Thanks, Ed. I don't know. Like, we had, my mom was like the type of mom that cooked for everybody. So, like, everyone would come over, all my friends, and she would just make, you know, big pasta, eggplant, chicken parm, all that stuff. And she loved to cook. But everyone loves her sauce. And I think I've had it so much growing up.
You're spoiled with it. Like.
But I don't like it because I've eaten so much.
Yeah.
Like, as a hockey player, every night it's pasta, carbs.
Carb up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I would have her sauce, so I don't taste anything anymore. So even when I go home and I'm like, I can't. And everyone loves her sauce. So I'm like, I think I just got, you
sauced
know,
out,
too
bro.
Much of it.
Too
yeah.
much sauce. Too yeah. much sauce. That's what I was going to ask you because, you know, you having a potential to go pro, you know, in hockey.
Yeah.
There's no way your Italian parents are like, all right, you know, go pursue acting. But in a way, you were all in on it. So I'm sure they had to support you in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, like, it's funny because, you know, Italian parents, like, especially my dad, they like the spotlight a little bit. Like, they like the theatrics. Yeah. They like, you know, and I think that in a way, because I was playing junior hockey my last year, I was 18 years old. And that's when I first started doing, like, I did one play at Trinity Rep in Providence. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a little bit of live improv at the Providence Improv Guild. And my dad went and saw it. And he was like, he actually like was supportive and, you know, about doing it. But he didn't think I would ever stop playing hockey for it. Mm-hmm. But there was some part of him that I think like likes to like, oh, he's an actor. Like who? I think now there's a little bit more people from Rhode Island who are like, you know, wanted to pursue it. Maybe I'm not saying I paved the way, but like I never saw anyone from Rhode Island be like, I want to be an actor and move to LA. So I think when I did it, it was something so different and away from hockey.
That's basically like, well, I'm so interested in because I don't know many people from Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Like I literally know you and Rhode Island's
huge.
Yeah.
It's big, and it's got the most population of Italians per capita. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. Yeah.
So that's a nice little nice Snapple fact. Yeah. Whenever we got to quiz someone, that's like, what city has the most?
Yeah. Nobody says Rhode Island, but yeah.
Yeah. It's a good city, though. I definitely love it. The food's great, too.
What's your favorite spots over there? Like, if you're there, that you got to hit.
A lot of it's changed since I have been in LA, like almost 9 years. COVID, obviously, you know. And then it's kind of like, it's a little bit like LA, like after 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. There's one guy there that owns a majority of like all Federal Hill and all that stuff. So he'll change out the names of stuff and put it, it's the same recipes and shit. But Twin Oaks is like, that's like a Rhode Island staple. And then Rhode Island has the pizza strips, the cold pizza strips with the marinara sauce on top. Have you seen those?
What about the Wimpy Skimpy?
I don't love that. That's
what it's called.
Yeah,
the chocolate pie, right? The chocolate pie?
It's like a spinach pie.
Yeah, that's Caserta's. I don't really like that. I mean, their pizza's good, but I'm not like a spinach pie kind of guy. I'm a big sauce and garlic guy. I don't even like really fuck with cheese on my pizza that much.
Yeah. So you like eat tomato pies?
You Italian, cuz?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I like the tomato. There used to be a spot in the city that did it perfectly. They're closed now because I was the only motherfucker ordering it.
You have to order more.
Yeah. But it was, they did a hot tomato sauce and garlic, no cheese. It was called Solo Pizza. It was near my old spot on 13th. And they, no cheese. It was so good. And then, but Rhode Island does those, but cold. So they're sitting out, and people go
pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like and that. Then they do like the pizza chips, the pizza puck things. Yeah, yeah. Those are fire too. But yeah, I mean, I do like cheese on the pizza, but I love garlic. Like my favorite thing in the world is fucking garlic. Garlic spread, garlic bread, fresh garlic on pasta. Like I'll put that shit on anything.
Keep away the vampires like that.
Literally.
What about L.A.? Like, because we were talking before we started filming that you prefer L.A. to New York.
I love L.A.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. I say it all the time. Yeah.
So why?
You know where I can get a fresh quality pizza with the freshest ingredients? I'm talking like homemade dough, pecorino romano grated in-house.
Of course.
Where?
Because Anthony's Cold Fire Pizza and Wings. That cold fire is at the heart of who they are.
Oh, they're that spot that's located all in the Northeast, and they have a bunch in Florida, right?
Yep.
Man. I love when you have a good recommendation for once.
Crispy, crunchy, savory, and sweet. Order what you want on Uber Eats.
Listen, guys, from now till the end of the year, December 31st, on the Uber Eats app, you go to Anthony and Son Panini shop, and you get a nice $25 off.
When you use the code Panini.
Got to use the code Panini.
Terms apply. See app for details. We're very excited to announce a long-term partnership with DeSoto Gastronomia out from Australia. These guys got a really, really interesting restaurant.
DeSoto has a very interesting story, so they're first-generation Italian-Australians.
They're basically us in Australia.
DeSoto was created in their parents' and grandparents' honor so that they can pay their legacy forward. 100% of their proceeds goes to people in need, charities, and the arts.
DeSoto will be supporting us this year, so you know the content's going to be even better.
Bro, and who knows? Maybe at some point we're going to have to take a trip down under, huh?
I was always curious how the Italian-Australians made food.
It's time we find out.
Like,
I don't know. I mean, like, first off, I don't love living in an apartment. And if you're in New York, if you're in Manhattan, you're pretty much living in an apartment. Yeah. Like, it's rare that, you know, I like driving. I love cars. So, like, it's hard to find a fucking garage here and that. So the weather, bro, you can't beat the weather. Yeah. The second it gets warm here, like right now the weather's perfect in New York, but in a month or two, it's going to get humid. Yeah. And then 4 months from now, it's going to start fucking snowing. It's like in LA, you know, you're waking up in the morning, the sun's 95% going to be out. It's going to be warm. I'm going to get in my truck. And I'm going to drive to fucking Equinox. I'm going to go to Erewhon, get my
hair. What's the most LA day? So what's a day in the life for you?
Wake
up. If you're not acting.
Equinox, steam room, downstairs, go to Erewhon, get my Hailey Bieber shake.
That is so LA.
You guys think I'm fucking kidding, dude. I fuck with those Hailey Bieber shakes.
That sounds sick, bro.
Yeah.
It's so funny. House party at night.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Go to dinner, catch steak, and then a house party at night, you know?
And rinse and repeat.
Yeah. Text Paris Hilton cool. When I wake up, go to the chateau.
That's the good life, right?
But
there.
No, I'm telling, like, I fuck with more people in New York.
That's what
I
was,
because we're real. And people always say that. Like, people always like, people are fake in LA. Yeah, because they have ulterior motives. But if you just find your people, which I have, I've had my people for fucking 4 years now. If you find your people that you love, you don't need, you could just congregate with other people. If you go out, hey, what up? Nice to meet you. Yeah, cool. Oh, you're on this show or you did this. Great. Nice to meet you.
Want to collab? And
yeah.
Right. Want to collab?
But then you don't have to. You're like, okay.
You ever seen like the meme in about like people in LA is like, yeah, shit's crazy. Like, you know? Got a meeting with HBO next week. Yeah, like,
yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah. Yeah, you know, I got a meeting.
Main
this
character
week.
Energy. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Main character
it, energy. It could be like that, but what's funny is that what I've found is that the people who actually have shit going for them aren't the ones doing that. Like, I remember, I said this the other night, I've never gone to a club not being known or famous. Never one time. Like, last year, the show was airing, so my homie from Rhode Island, his name's Dave. He came out with us on Saturday night. I was hosting, and I was telling Garrett a fucking hilarious story because we went to Little Sister, and you know the show is airing, and every time Ghost airs, like it's craziness. We're going out to clubs.
You don't pay for any meals in New York, right?
Nah, bro. No, yeah. No clubs, no meals, no like.
That's how you know you made it when you get like free chicken palms. Yeah. Like, for being on
that's
I'm
his,
not there yet.
That's his gauge. Yet, yeah. That's his gauge. He's like,
if
you got the free mutts, you made it, kid.
Yeah. No, yeah, but he gets the free steaks.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets free steaks.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for like a little like free appetizer. Right. You know, like, antipasto. You know, don't charge me for the apps, you know?
Yeah, free. Send me a nice little arancini on the house. I made it, kid.
But yeah, that's a good gauge. Like, you know, when you're a fucking TV star, you don't pay for shit.
Yeah. They do. Honestly, the more famous you get, the less shit you have to pay for.
It's a wild concept.
Yeah.
But, you know, good for you.
I kind of like it. That's what please, you I need more shit. No.
That's when you keep people like that around, though.
Right.
Like, yo, that's the guy, the chicken palm guy. I'll throw the chicken palm if we go there.
Yeah. He's the guy that you meet at the club. He's like, oh, he can get me free mutts. Let's let's hang out with him. Yeah.
That's me.
That's the New York guy.
Yeah.
Like, see, when I think of Gary, I'm like, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Like if you need a point, you're gonna call Gary.
Take it easy.
Garrett's like, we gotta cut that.
Cut.
He's gonna be here. He's just gonna blur it out. Lopik's gonna blur it out.
Somewhere. But we no, so we were at Little Sister and I'm in the corner. So and you know, lit up a little joint in the club at Little Sister. It's like that's like a white club. Like usually like you know, the more blacker the you know, or more hip hop is played, like
The more bottles we get,
and the more lenient they are with weed. Uh-huh. We're at Little Sisters, the whitest fucking club you can be at. Like, our section, all black dudes, black girls, and everything else, just white people everywhere.
Yeah.
And I bring my homie, Dave, who's white, and he's in the section, and light up, and then he, like, looks at me and goes, no. And I was like, what? I was, like, confused.
He's like,
you can't smoke in a club? And I was like,
that's top energy when you can smoke in a club.
I was like, it's so funny you say that because I didn't know that. I was like looking behind me. I was like, is he talking to me? Like, what are you talking about?
So like, there's a lot of times in New York, like you would have to like hold it down or like take care of the bouncer in the section.
Bro, I'm about to get to it. So then he's like, he comes to me. He's like, yo, you can't smoke in here. And I have never not gone to a club and smoked ever. Like, but like whatever. And so then the security guard walks by and he's like this. And the security guard sees me. And he sees Mike, and I'm just like, smoke, you know? And then the security guard goes, just like that. And my homie looks at me and goes, motherfucker.
No, but honestly, like, the temptation of not being able to smoke makes it better.
But I've never experienced that, which brings me back to the point of, like, I started going to the clubs a little bit in L.A., being known and, you know, having some success and being like, okay, I could go out tonight. I could go out with some friends. And then being friends with a lot of rappers, you know, you go out with them. And I would see people in the club that have, like, never been in anything or they're actors and never accomplished anything. They're just hangarounds. And it blew my mind because I'm like, I would never even think of going to the club when I was coming up. Like, I was just grinding.
Yeah.
So, and then I started seeing, like, okay, maybe if I go to the club, like, once or twice a week, or a friend's having a birthday party, I'll pull up to Delilah, and I'll see the same people who aren't doing anything at the club, and I'm like, oh, like, this is your life. Like, this is what you do, is like you're trying to latch on to anything. Yeah. And those are the people who you have to stay away from in LA. From. But if you find your people, then like, you don't have to worry about that shit. You have who you have. And like, if you come in contact with them, great. But if not, that is what it is. But in New York, you find more genuine people.
Yeah,
where,
yeah, yeah, I think so too.
By the way, I got a text from one of my homies on a random night. Like, oh yeah, I ran into your boy Gianni. He tried to beat me up.
And you tried to beat him up?
You're squaring up with people?
Did I try to fight someone in LA?
Why? Because you were like, you twisted?
Your boy Gianni, he tried to fight me. I'm like, God damn.
Oh, you're a hothead. Well,
he's a hockey player. Of course you're a fucking
hothead. It's actually, in your nature. I'm actually not. I'm actually curious what happened.
I sent you this screenshot. You must have been still drunk.
But here's the thing, I don't really like publicly get fucked up or like do any of that. So yeah, that's interesting. I'm curious.
Like when you said the smoking thing, like I actually don't like people when I don't drink. People are like, they think I'm an alcoholic or recovering alcoholic. Right.
Same thing.
I'm like, bro, it's not that. It's like I'd rather smoke. Right. Like I'll be at a club and like I get the thrill from smoking in a club you're not supposed to smoke in.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, you heard my weekend. How many drinks do you think that I had in those?
One a night.
One total.
That would be me.
One total.
That would literally
and
be
I didn't
me.
Smoke. I didn't do anything because I think I'm so fucking crazy anyways that like, look, Garrett saying like I almost tried to beat up his homie. Like, I don't know, maybe.
But and you were sober too. So
yeah, I'm the guy. I just want everyone. And I think this is a testament to like who I am as a person. Like, I just want people to laugh, have a good time and enjoy the night. Like, that's really what I like love to do. Like, even now I think I've gotten a little bit more comfortable doing it. But I remember like when I first started getting known and power started popping, I'd be around like big people and I would like maybe be a little timid with jokes or like this and that. Dude, two nights ago, I'm in Dirk's dressing room. I have fucking all of OTF there dying laughing in stitches. I'm making fucking crazy jokes. Yeah. So I've like, I think I've arrived.
You do stand-up comedy too, right?
I did like years ago when maybe I was 20 to 22. But I just don't.
It's not for you.
I respect it, and I love a lot of the comics. I've worked with a lot of them, like social media stuff. But I don't love telling the same story. Like, that's what it is. You're perfecting 15.
You're
minutes.
You're more in the podcast, yeah. Less stand up.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. Because with stand up, it's just like it's more about like perfecting stuff. Like my little brother's doing stand up now, and I'm like writing a lot with him, and I love doing that. Mm-hmm. But like he's already shown me.
So you're ghostwriting for him,
right? But he's already shown me like. Like a couple of jokes that I've written, like the clips four or five times, and I'm like, I'm already sick of this, and I'm not even doing the stand up.
That's funny.
So that's why I don't still do it. But
yeah, no, I get it, man. What's like a? All right, you say you're from all these rappers. Maybe you have another story for us besides Lil Durk. Like Drake himself invited you to walk Durk out. Or how did that happen?
So I know Durk. Mike and I both know Durk. So we've talked a lot. Like it was so funny. Even when I was in Europe, he was just like. He'll text me like every couple of days and be like, yo, you safe out there? Everything good? And I'm like, yeah, Schmirk. I'm like, I'm chilling. I'm good. And then like, we just like have talked a lot. So I knew I was coming out for the hosting. I knew I was coming out for, you know, this and a couple other things. So I was FaceTiming him when I was in Mexico City. He's like, how the movie going out there? Everything's good. I was like, yeah, everything's good. I was like, I'm going to be in New York next weekend. I know you guys got a show. I'm going to pull up. And he goes, oh, you got to walk me out. You and Mike got to walk me out. So
that's
like,
crazy.
So he asked me, and I was like, bro, I was like, yeah, of course I'll fucking do that. But yeah, there's like a lot of rappers that I've, you know, become good friends with. I fucked with Machine Gun Kelly a lot growing up. I liked his music in high school. And one day I noticed that like Slim, who's one of my best friends now, it's his like right-hand guy, his DJ. He like produces all of his beats, everything. And then Rook and a lot of like his, you know, drummer, bass player. I realized they all followed me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So I looked at Slim's Twitter one day and I remember I was filming like season one of Ghost and I'm in my trailer and I see his Twitter and he tweets like, power is the worst show on television. That being said, I will be tuned in every week. He was pissed about all the Ghost shit and all that stuff. So I slid in his DMs and I was like, you motherfucker. Like we started talking and then I've just become close with them. So I went on right after COVID, I went on tour with them for like six cities. I rode the bus. He did a show at Red Rocks. Like, that was fucking dope.
Did you like that experience? Like, being with... Well, you really learn about someone when you're with them every day. and traveling with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you still feel the same about him after? Or
all,
like,
oh. Bro, all of those guys are the fucking best guys ever. That's why, like, sometimes I see...
He doesn't look like he knows a good chicken parm spot, though. I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that.
You would have to pick, like, the dinner spots because he's, like, he looks very skinny.
Yeah, I wish I had that fucking body type. But I that's why I don't love a lot of the hate that Kels gets on the internet because... Like, he actually is, like, such a fucking great dude. Anytime I pull up to the studio, like, they're just, like, loving people, and they just want the best for you. They're super supportive. Anytime, like, you know, I booked that, you know, filming this movie, they all texted me. They're just good dudes. And then sometimes you see, oh, like, he's fucking this, or he's a vampire. It's just, like, I hate that shit because they don't know them as a person. They're yeah. just, but as an actor, I understand that I'm a public figure in a sense, and I've invited this scrutiny. So it's like the double-edged sword. Like, sure, maybe I'll get like a free night at a hotel or, you know, from free fucking apps, but you're going to get some hate. And I feel like you have to be okay with both of that. But some of the hate he gets, I think, is a little bullshit.
The hate you get, how do you handle that?
I don't get much
hate. What do you get hate for?
I get a lot of love. Like, the writers have done me well where I'm like, saving Tariq.
You're not an evil character.
Yeah, I'm like saving Tariq every fucking every finale. I'm like, holy shit. Every time I see an episode 10, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. This is
price
going
is
up.
Price
yeah.
is up.
Yeah.
Right, I gotta ask you. Being a white guy from Providence, Rhode Island, was it just from power, or how did you become like the cool white kid? I don't understand.
And then like you're a hockey player too, so that's so doesn't translate.
You're so like cultured, I wanna say.
I don't know. Like, it's so funny. You see, I post a flick all the time, and it's like, I think I was 7 or 8 years old, and I'm in a G-Unit shirt.
Fire.
So, like...
Everybody, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. It was Eminem.
Your parents, like, blushed you.
Yeah, the earliest I can remember, I think because I was on an older hockey team when I was younger, that everyone was listening to rap already. Like, I was, like, 6, and they were all, like, 9 and 10. And they were all already listening to, like, rap. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know how, but... I just have a distinct memory of listening to the Eminem show in my room, fucking rapping in front of the mirror, and I'm legitimately 6 years old. And that was like the start of just being cultured. And that's then, fire. You know, you start, I feel like once you're into hip hop, like it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You start watching, you know, MTV, and you see the music videos, and you
get even more into
you
it.
You see 50 with the cars, and like you see MTV Cribs. Like, I wasn't looking up to, you know, fucking. Blink 182.
Yeah, I was literally gonna say Blink 182.
Yeah, that like what that like.
So you can't like you don't listen to Blink. Like, let's say I played All the Small Things. You don't know the words.
I know
so,
I know those ones because like I'm tapped into, you know, the culture. You know what's so funny?
My range is crazy. Like, right, I can do Blink 182 and I can do like West Side Gun. You know? Like,
yeah. But I've seen like Travis around Kel. So like I'm like familiar with a lot of it. But growing up, it was all hip hop. Like. Yeah. Even as a kid, you know, Mobb Deep, and like I'm 7 years old and I'm going into the hockey locker room, and then I'm putting the older kids on the like hip hop and this and that, and like that doesn't leave you, you know. And then you got fucking Get Rich or Die Trying comes out. Then you got eight. It's like,
what year were you born?
I'm 96.
Yeah, all right. So you're like us. Yeah. You're like me.
Now what year are you?
I'm 95. But you had a MySpace?
Yeah. You what?
You had a MySpace? Yeah, did you have a backwards hat in your profile picture?
Bro,
because that was me.
I'm not gonna lie. I think I had a fucking do-rag on him.
what was your MySpace song?
I used to change it like all the time. What I can remember,
like because you can always remember one. So mine was what's that G song? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh yeah,
whoa,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
whoa,
yeah.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, Rider Part 2. Yeah.
What I can remember is Chain Hang Low.
Do your chain hang low.
That was like one of my MySpace songs. But like, it was so funny because I remember like I had this sidekick, and it was the Dwayne Wade sidekick. It was my first cell phone.
Dwayne Wade?
Yeah. He did a collab with Sidekick. It was my first cell phone. And I, like, my ringtones would go off in class. It was like Coffee Shop by like Young Jock and Gorilla Zoe. And the teachers are like, what the fuck are you listening to?
Did you have a Sidekick and a Nextel at the same time?
Nah. What am I, a construction worker? No, like fucking Nextel?
That was when like you were the fucking gem. Like,
yeah.
It was like a year. Because the Nextel was like for like, you know, like,
right.
Yo, where you at? And then the Sidekick was like so you could have AIM. So like technically like so you could have texting.
Right.
Like wherever you are. Because back in the day you would have to like
yeah.
So, like use dial up to like go on AIM. But then with the Sidekick, it's like you had texting all the time.
Yeah.
Like away that's message. The first time you really had texting at your fingertips.
And after that was BBM.
Yep. Yeah, BlackBerry Messenger, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, AIM was the original. AIM was AIM. Like, yeah, that's what you would ask people, like, what's your screen name? Like, yep. And that's how you would, like, you would text people.
So you've just always been in tune, pretty much.
Everything, dude. Dude, I remember, you know what's the craziest story ever? I was probably 10, 11 years old. And I was always, like, I was always the cool kid in the locker room. I was making everyone laugh, all this stuff. And then one day, I came in with these Bapes. I was 11 years old, 12 years old. I had the red and yellow Bapes. I think they were the Flash ones. And I came in and, like, the whole team turned on me. They were like, I legitimately remember they were calling me, like, Ronald McDonald and all this stuff. I'm like, bro, I was the guy. What the fuck happened? Like, everyone, like, turned on me.
You never wore those again?
Bro, no. And then one of the kids, like, he was chirping me so bad, and I cracked him like this. And then I wound up leaving that team. And I stood on business with the fucking Bapes. I stood on business with the Bapes. And then they were like, because my first, you know what's so crazy? My first concert ever was Lil Wayne. And I used to wear that concert tee everywhere. So then I came in, like, another day, and, like, I was wearing, like, a Wayne tee. And they're like, oh, he thinks he's this. He thinks he's black. Like, people would say that shit to me on my team. And I stood on business, and I was like, and it's so crazy that where this has come to, I was like, I fucking knew I was right.
That's so funny.
Fucking knew I was right.
That's true. Yeah. You had True Religion jeans on? Yeah.
True Religion's are that bad. Came after, though. But I was wearing True Religion in high school. And then I did the whole, like, I was collecting the sneakers. I went on RIJs, was selling all the kicks. Yeah. Like, I think I've been through, like, every phase of, like, what a white kid being tapped in could have been.
Yeah.
I sold the kick. I just didn't cut hair. That's the one. Like, I feel like every white kid that was, like, you know, Italian or because it's so close, they all cut hair now. They all cut hair.
All the kids similar to you?
They all cut hair. Yeah. All the kids that were like, it was weird because growing up, like, if you were tapped in, you were super Italian. You had, like, the fucking poly. You had, like, the
tape up.
Yeah, the tape up. And or you wore, like, you know, you were wearing FUBU or you were wearing Babe.
Ed Hardy?
Ed
Hardy's big.
Did you wear Ed Hardy?
The Ed Hardy is, all right, here's the line, and I did. But here's the line.
I wore one shirt too.
Ed Hardy's here, and, like, Jordan's here. And then there's, like, that gray area of, like, Polo and Lacoste and all that stuff. So once you get to the Ed Hardy, then you go a little bit Jordan pull, and then you're like, you're gone. You're into FUBU and, like, you're into, like, Sean John. Like, Sean John. You, like, you, once you get over the hump. But I
what
was
about
always,
Mecca. You remember Mecca?
No,
the brand Mecca.
No,
you remember Mecca?
No,
or
no?
What was how do you pronounce the one as Enyce?
Enyce,
like,
no, I never wore that one.
You remember that, right?
Yeah.
Wait, so where's Echo? Echo too.
Where's Echo? On that list?
I feel like Echo's a little before FUBU. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of white kids that wear an Echo. They just, like, you know, you get at, like, Bob's discount store and you just, you get what I'm saying?
Funny. I have a shirt when I was, like, 8 with an Echo shirt on right
there. Yeah.
Oh, there's a flick of it?
It's on the wall.
It's
so
funny.
I thought it was cool. Like, I thought I was the man with those shirts. I remember when we would go back to Italy, like, every summer, and I would, like, bring, like, these Jordans there, and they're like, these things are so ugly. Like,
yeah,
I never forget, like, I had
Jordan.
You remember those Hair 7s?
Oh, yeah.
They were, like,
in
a pack with the 18s.
Yep.
I remember I brought them to Italy, and people were like, I was like, yo, these are the best. And they're just, like, roasting me. Like, they're like, and they're just, like, talking about, like, regular Air Max 97s. Like, that's, like, the different style from, like, Europe and here.
Loafers. I will say, I love going to Europe. I love, like, Italy, but, like, fix your fucking style, man. Like, get with the times.
Really?
Holy shit.
I think it's the fashion capital. They're going to
hate
you.
Well, yeah,
you.
Like, the Italian artists.
Yeah, but, like, everyone's wearing a trench coat. It's like, dude,
take off their style seriously.
Put an off-white jacket on, get some Amiris, and call it a day. It's like, take off the trench coat.
They get an espresso. They dress all the way to the nines.
Yo, Pig, remember that time? Like, we were literally with Sfera and Mike Amiri in a studio session.
Light, Brad.
Those dudes know, like,
like,
the top tier guys are, like, on some, like, drip shit.
Yeah.
Like, even when they come here, like,
because I feel like you get so bored. Like, that's why you see people, you know, the huge rappers, they're wearing crazy shit because, like, the normal stuff just isn't, you're not looking in the mirror and go, oh, I like fly anymore. Cause yeah. you're just in like, you know, jeans and a tee. That's yeah. why you see fucking spikes out of people's heads.
The,
and
the
like
things you'll see is the feathers. Like,
yeah.
They're like the ripped jeans that look like there's feathers on the jeans or like on a jacket. That's, to me, that's when we've lost control. Yeah, like, yeah, once yeah. you start looking like a bird, like literally.
You were some crazy so shit. Funny. He's like, yeah, I was with fucking Barack Obama, Mike Amiri.
But bro.
Offset.
Like
dude.
With Mike Amiri, I was just like, I'm too big to wear a Amiri jeans.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
So like,
yeah. You know, he's like, Madonna told me I couldn't wear the, it's okay. I name drop a couple times too, so it's fine.
Mario Bosco over here.
Yeah. Listen, 50 Cent and Mike Amiri were a little.
I mean, Mike, he wasn't really wearing anything crazy that night, now that I think of it. It was just those
yeah, he plain, wore like cargo pants.
Yeah, you know?
There's a flick on the gram. There's a flick. It's in one of my rotations.
He's
got to
back up his statement, you know?
It's okay. Hold on. Dirk texted me a bunch, so I got to see if I can find it.
That's funny. Well, we got the Scarlattas here. We're about to film a fun video, but what's next for you? Like, so, what can we expect to see from you in the next 10 years?
Season 4 of Ghost airs June 7th. Fucking can't wait.
Tune in.
It's an
tune in.
Unbelievable season. I think everyone's going to love it. It's the end, baby.
The price is about to double or what?
Price about to quadruple, my guy. Holy shit, I'm going to be hanging with him and Cher.
free chicken palms, cuz. Free chicken palms.
Hanging with me and
you think me and Cher don't get free apps?
No, they're going to get like all the mac and cheese bowls you want.
Yeah. I'm shooting a movie right now in Mexico City. It's called Trust. It's with Sophie Turner, Katie Sagal, Billy Campbell, Reese Coiro. It's going to be fucking awesome. It's going to be huge. Awesome. It's going to be in theaters. I can't wait. And then we'll see what happens.
We're excited
this year.
To see what's what the future has in store for you, bro.
I'm gonna come back. So when right before Ghost airs, I'll come back. We'll do another little pod.
Absolutely. Let's do you're always welcome.
Thank
it was
you
a
guys.
Pleasure, man.
Thank you guys. Best I appreciate luck, it. Thank
Make
you.
Make sure
having
to follow
me.
Gianni. We're gonna put his Instagram in the description.
Take it easy.
Thank you guys.